Okay, so tonight, this is the topic for tonight. We all rebel against God. Okay, go back to that. So last time we began this series and we saw that God is a good, loving ruler who made this world. And we saw that the pinnacle of God's creation was the first man and the first woman, who we now know as Adam and Eve. We saw also that Adam and Eve were made in a special way. Okay, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. So man and woman were made in the image of God. And that meant that God can have a relationship with human beings that he doesn't have with other creatures that he made. But human beings are special. God can have a relationship with human beings because they're made in the image of God. And there was another special thing about man and woman, and that is that God said to the man and the woman, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God put man upon this earth to rule the earth, to rule under God. And that's where we finished last week. We saw this sort of little diagram of a human being standing upon the world with God, the crown of God, over him. So God was over men and women, but men and women are put here to rule the earth. And then at the end of it all, we read this. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was all very good. That's where we got to last week. God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. And I mean, that's about where the good story ends in the Bible at that point anyway, at the end of chapter 1 of the first book of the Bible. Because I don't very often buy a newspaper. I used to buy one once a week, but I think now I buy one about every 4 months, and apparently last week was the 4 month time to buy a newspaper. So last Monday I bought a newspaper, and they're the headlines from the newspaper, one newspaper last Monday. Insurance price fight, cops ready to dig for the missing body, uncle hid drugs under in houseboat dealer, operator sorrow boys ride death. And that's one newspaper from last Monday, just some of the headlines from the newspaper. And you think, wow, all very good. Obviously hadn't read the paper last Monday. And then the next day, Tuesday, was Anzac Day. And 100 years ago, Europe went to war with itself and tore itself apart. The total number of military and civilian casualties in World War I was 38 million. OK, that's more than 1.5 times the population of Australia. Total casualties, World War I, 38 million, over 17 million deaths, and over 20 million wounded. It ranks as one of the deadliest conflicts in human history. It was called at the time the war to end all wars, which obviously it wasn't. God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was all very good. So what went wrong? Okay, let's go right back to the beginning. And in the beginning, this is what God said directly to the man and the woman. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil you shall not eat. From the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So there's something interesting, because we read about God talking directly to man. You know, as I said, we're made for a relationship with God. Essential to any good relationship is that you talk, you communicate. And essential to a good relationship between God and human beings is God talks to human beings talk to God. And what's even more interesting is this. Apart from what we read before about God saying, be fruitful and multiply and so on, in terms of what I just said that before, just then, what's the first thing God told man to do? Can anyone tell me? before that. The first command was not to eat the forbidden fruit. Well, actually, it wasn't quite the first. The first was, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. That was the first thing God said. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. And then he said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. I want you really to think about that, because the very first thing God said was, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Let's have a look at the garden. So, okay, that's our garden tomorrow after weeding. And we pulled out all the plants as well. But okay, let's start with the garden. So God said to Adam, I think this was just to Adam, he said, look, over there there's a pear tree. You can eat all the pears off that tree whenever you like, as often as you like. He said, there's an orange tree. You can eat all the oranges there as often as you like. And strawberries. Oh, I don't know where they got the cream from, but they had strawberries, as many as they like. And they had bananas, as many as they like. And they had cherries, and they had kumquats, and they had apples, and they had lemons. And, you know, if that wasn't enough, then they had a fruit salad tree. They just had everything. Okay? Everything you could possibly want. God said to Adam, look, here's the garden. Go for it. Anything you like, as often as you like. You have my permission to eat any of these. God is, as we said, the good and loving ruler who made this world. And last of all, God said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is in the middle of the garden, you shall not eat. But usually we don't remember that first thing that God said. More often than not, we focus only on the second thing God said, and all we think about is this lonely little tree in the middle of the garden, where God said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. I want you to think about that. I mean, here is unlimited choice. You can go to any of these trees in the garden, eat as much as you like, as often as you like, and there's just one thing that you're not to eat. But usually we remember the thing we're told we must not do, and we forget the infinite good that we are given permission to do. We forget that God is a good and loving ruler who made this world. We like having permission to do whatever we like, but we don't like to be told what we can't do, even by the good and loving ruler who made this world. We just don't like to be told. Okay, well, that's us now. That's you and me. We have this nasty streak in us that doesn't like to be told. But, of course, back then, when God made the first man and the first woman, there was no nasty streak. That first man and that first woman were perfect. They had no nasty streak. But they weren't the only beings in this world. When God made the world, he also made another group of beings called angels. And there was one angel in particular. We know him now by the name of Satan. But initially he was a good angel. He was once the chief of the angels. For some reason which we don't know, he led a rebellion against God. And he drew a third of the angels of heaven after him in his rebellion against God. Satan lost, he was cast out of heaven, and ever since then he has been God's arch enemy. He obviously can't destroy God, but he will do anything, he will say anything to destroy what God has made. And Satan now enters the garden where God had placed Adam and Eve. He came disguised in what was then a very beautiful disguise, came as a beautiful creature, a serpent. Remember, this is back when everything is in the garden is very good and serpents are not going to go around biting people. Serpents are beautiful creatures if you can get past the fact that they might bite you. And this is back when all the animals were good. So Satan enters the garden. We read, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made." He hates God. He hates what God has made. He comes, and this is his opening pitch. He says to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden'?" Remember what this garden was like? There were pears and oranges and strawberries and bananas and cherries and kumquats and apples and lemons and fruit salad. And of every tree you can freely eat. That's what God had said. Of every tree you can freely eat, because God is a good God. God is a generous God. God is a loving God. And Satan says, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden'?" You see, trouble comes when we forget how good and how generous and how loving a God God is. Trouble comes when we begin to resent the fact that God has told us that there is something that we can't do. Trouble comes when we begin to resent God. Satan will try with all his might to get you to try and resent God. Well, the woman doesn't fall for it. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden." But then she adds this. She says, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Not touch it. Where did that come from? God had never said, "You can't even touch it." Now, if God has told you you mustn't eat something, it's probably wise to stay away from it. It's probably best not even to touch it. But nonetheless, God never actually told them not to touch it. It's only a little thing, I know, but the woman wasn't paying attention to God and what he had said as carefully as she could have paid attention. And trouble in this world begins when we're not paying careful attention to what God has said. We're not paying attention to what the loving ruler of this world has said. So Satan tries again. I mean, subtlety hasn't worked. So he goes straight in for the kill. "The serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" God says you will die. You won't. God is a liar. And furthermore, he says God is a killjoy. He doesn't even want you to have a good time. He just wants to keep you in bondage. He wants to keep you as his little slave. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever even thought that? All these rules that God gives me to keep, they're not in my interest. They're just to keep me from having a good time. They're just to keep me from reaching my full potential. And that's what Satan does. He says to the woman, "God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll have all this special knowledge. And you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Don't you want to be like God? God's trying to keep you down. He's trying to suppress you. He's trying to keep you from reaching your full potential. So now the woman's faced with a choice. It's the choice that you face. It's the choice that all of us face. And if you make the wrong choice at this point, trouble comes. All the trouble in the world today comes because when we are faced with a choice, we make the wrong choice. And the choice is this: are you going to choose to believe what God says? Or are you going to believe what your feelings tell you? Because that's the choice. Do you believe God? Do you believe that he really is the loving ruler of this world, and what he has told you to do, he has told you because he loves you? Or do you choose to ignore God, and do you choose instead to follow your own feelings? Genesis 3 and verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food that it was pleasant to the eyes and that it was desirable to make one wise. So three things. These are the three things she based her choice on. The tree was good for food. She was listening to her stomach. She was listening to her appetites. And people today make wrong choices because they listen to their physical appetites. They listen to their sexual appetites. They listen to their ambitious appetites. One way or another, they listen to their appetites. It was pleasant to the eye. She's taken in because it was so attractive. And it was a tree desirable to make one wise. She was seduced at the thought of how much prestige it would give her. Wise, wonderfully wise, wise as God, wise, like God. Appetites, attractiveness, prestige, the one thing she didn't base the decision on was what God had actually said. She wasn't listening to the word of God. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Just seven words in English. The language in which the Bible was originally written, it's just three words. But those three words changed the world forever. She took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And that's where all the trouble in the world began. It began when appetites, attractiveness, and prestige ruled a decision instead of the word of a good and loving and generous God. And ever since, whenever we choose on the basis of appetites or attractiveness or prestige over against the word of a good and loving and generous God, we find trouble. And trouble there was. Now, God had said, in the day that you disobey me, you will die. Adam and Eve ate. They didn't die. They must have thought they had dodged a bullet. Just as all those today who disobey God and don't die think they have dodged a bullet. But they haven't. And Adam and Eve hadn't. Look at what happened to their relationship with God. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Before they had this wonderful open relationship with God, and now we're talking about coverings and we're talking about hiding ourselves. They were ashamed. For the first time, human beings were ashamed. For the first time, shame entered the world. They hid from God, or at least they tried to. Here were two human beings who were made for relationship with God. Our happiness is bound up with having a good relationship with God. Your happiness is bound up with having a good relationship with God. And their happiness was bound up with having a good relationship with God. But that day, man's relationship with God died. Adam and Eve died in their relationship with God, and with it, happiness died. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Here's something else that has entered the world: fear. Man is now afraid of God. God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Of course, God knew. God's just making Adam face up to what he's done. The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." It's really sad, isn't it? Because, I mean, you think about, we skipped over where God created the woman and what Adam said when he first saw Eve, which was probably something like, wow. But here they were both brought together, they were one flesh with each other. and they were perfectly united with each other. Now they're divided. Adam's relationship with his wife has died. For the first time in history, but certainly not the last, the man blames his wife for his sin. And worse than that, he blames God. He says to God, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, you know, you're the one that gave me this woman, and this woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." So here's Adam, he's divided from God. He's accusing God. He's divided from his wife. It's always someone else's fault. It's never mine. And ever since, the human race has been divided. Husband against wife, wife against husband, men against men, women against women, men and women against each other. And Eve was no better. The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Ever since, we really find it hard to take ownership when we do something wrong. It's always someone else's fault. The day that Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they died. They died in their relationship with God. They died in their relationship with each other. All human relationships have been doomed since then. They also began to die in their bodies. Yes, physically. From the moment that they sinned against God, from the moment they disobeyed God, their bodies began to age and they started to corrupt, so that inevitably one day they would die physically. And after death, they faced eternal death. The eternal torments of a hell which is reserved for the punishment of sinners, a hell where they would never know peace for all eternity. Dodged a bullet? I don't think so. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's what God said, and we really need to take God's word seriously. 100 years ago, 17 million died in a single war. 20 million, more than 20 million, were wounded. We naively believe that it was at last the war to end all wars, but it wasn't. And no war ever will be, as long as appetites and attractiveness and prestige make our choices for us instead of the word of a good and a loving and a generous God. Okay, we saw last week that God is the loving ruler of everything, and as the loving ruler of everything, he has placed us on the earth under him, under his crown. All the trouble in the world has come about because we rejected that picture and we went for this instead. We crossed out the crown of God, we put the crown on our own heads, and we decided that we would rule instead of God. And all the trouble in the world today comes from that. Because of that, the world is in the mess that it's in. And that is the grim picture that the Bible paints. It's not God's fault. Don't blame God. It's our fault. It's the choices we make, going right back to our first parents, Adam and Eve, when we, like them, choose on the basis of appetites or attractiveness or prestige instead of listening to what God says in his word. I drew the short straw on this series of talks because this is absolutely the saddest of all the talks. And you're left thinking, well, is there no hope? Well, yes, there is hope, because, I mean, that's what this series is all about, that there is hope in a hopeless world, because this world is hopeless. But the good and generous and loving ruler of this world does provide hope. As I say, that's what this series is all about. That's where we're going in this series.